Our next LOS asks us to compare positions an investor can take in an asset. An investor who owns an asset or has the right or obligation under a contract to purchase an asset is said to have a long position. A short position can result from a short sale, borrowing an asset and selling it, with the obligation to replace the asset in the future. The party to a contract who must sell or deliver an asset in the future is also said to have a short position. In general, investors who are long benefit from an increase in the price of an asset, and those who are short benefit when the asset price declines. Hedgers use short positions in one asset to hedge an existing risk from a long position in another asset that has returns that are strongly correlated with the returns of the asset shorted. For example, wheat farmers may take a short position in wheat futures contracts. If wheat prices fall, the resulting increase in the value of the short futures position offsets, partially or fully, the loss in the value of the farmer's crop. The buyer of an option contract is said to be long the option. The seller is short the option and is said to have written the option. Note that an investor who is long a call option on an asset profits when the value of the underlying asset increases in value, while the party short the option has losses. A long position in a put option on an asset has the right to sell the asset at a specified price and profits when the price of the underlying asset falls, while the party short the option has losses. In swaps, each party is long one asset and short the other, so the designation of the long and short side is often arbitrary. Usually, however, the side that benefits from an increase in the quoted price or rate is referred to as the long side. In a currency contract, each party is long one currency and short the other. For example, the buyer of a euro futures contract priced in dollars is long the euro and short the dollar. In a short sale, the short seller simultaneously borrows and sells securities through a broker, must return the securities at the request of the lender or when the short sale is closed out, and must keep a portion of the proceeds of the short sale on deposit with the broker. Short sellers hope to profit from a fall in the price of the security or asset sold short, buying at a lower price in the future in order to repay the loan of the asset originally sold at a higher price. The repayment of the borrowed security or other asset is referred to as covering the short position. In a short sale, the short seller must pay all dividends or interest that the lender would have received from the security that has been loaned to the short seller. These payments are called payments in lieu of dividends or interest. The short seller must also deposit the proceeds of the short sale as collateral to guarantee the eventual repurchase of the security. The broker then earns interest on these funds and may return a portion of this interest to the short seller at a rate referred to as the short rebate rate. The short rebate rate is usually only provided to institutional investors and is typically 0.1% less than overnight interest rates. If the security is difficult to borrow, the short rebate rate may be lower or negative. The difference between the interest earned on the proceeds from the short sale and the short rebate paid is the return to the lender of the securities. A short sale may also require the short seller to deposit additional margin in the form of cash or short-term riskless securities. The use of borrowed funds to purchase an asset results in a leveraged position, and the investor is said to be using leverage. Investors who use leverage to buy securities by borrowing from their brokers are said to buy on margin, and the borrowed funds are referred to as a margin loan. The interest rate paid on the funds is the call money rate, which is generally higher than the government bill rate. The call money rate is lower for larger investors with better collateral. At the time of a new margin purchase, investors are required to provide a minimum amount of equity, referred to as the initial margin requirement. This requirement may be set by the government, exchange, clearinghouse, or broker. Lower risk in an investor's portfolio will often result in the broker lending more funds. The use of leverage magnifies both the gains and losses from changes in the value of the underlying asset. The additional risk from the use of borrowed funds is referred to as risk from financial leverage. Our next LOS requires us to calculate and interpret the leverage ratio, the rate of return on a margin transaction, and the security price at which the investor would receive a margin call. The leverage ratio of a margin investment is the value of the asset divided by the value of the equity position. For example, an investor who satisfies an initial margin requirement of 50% equity has a 2-to-1 leverage ratio, so that a 10% increase or decrease in the price of the asset results in a 20% increase or decrease in the investor's equity amount. Because of transactions costs, such as commissions and interest on the margin loan, the investor's net return will be somewhat less than the asset return multiplied by the leverage ratio. To ensure that the loan is covered by the value of the asset, an investor must maintain a minimum equity percentage, called the maintenance margin requirement, in the account. This minimum is typically 25% of the current position value, but brokers may require a greater minimum equity percentage for volatile stocks. If the percentage of equity in a margin account falls below the maintenance margin requirement, the investor will receive a margin call, a request to bring the equity percentage in the account back up to the maintenance margin percentage. An investor can satisfy this request by depositing additional funds or depositing other unmargined securities that will bring the equity percentage up to the minimum requirement. If the investor does not meet the margin call, the broker must sell the position. The stock price which results in a margin call can be calculated by using the following formula. Margin call price equals initial purchase price times the quantity 1 minus the initial margin divided by the quantity 1 minus the maintenance margin. For example, if an investor purchases a stock for $40 per share with an initial margin requirement of 50% and a maintenance margin requirement of 25%, the price at which the investor would get a margin call is 40 times 1 minus 0.5 divided by 1 minus 0.25, or $26.67. In a short sale, the investor must deposit initial margin equal to a percentage of the value of the shares sold short to protect the broker in case the share price increases. An increase in the share price can decrease the margin percentage below the maintenance margin percentage and generate a margin call.